Almsgiving. In the later Hebrew scriptures, the word for alms also means justice and implies that almsgiving is a way of restoring God's order to society by balancing the distribution of wealth. Jesus instructs us to give alms several times in the Gospels when he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Luke 12:32-34. This goes along with Jesus' warning that it's extremely difficult for the rich to get into the kingdom of heaven. It's true that if we never feel the bite of poverty or even the discomfort of financial difficulty, we have much less opportunity to trust that the Lord will look after our material needs. It has also been a tradition of the church for centuries that those who are rich, or at least have more than they need, should give away their excess resources to help those in need. But even for those of us who do not have a superabundance of wealth, we may instead have time on our hands or talents that we possess that we could utilize to help the poor. Alms, whether it is in the form of money or our skill or our time, is to be given without fanfare, Jesus says in chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The early church made sure that the needy were taken care of by distributing food in Jerusalem, where they were based. And it became the hallmark of the early Christian communities that they organized the distribution of money and food to the poor. Why is that? Because Jesus, in all four Gospels, insists on care for the poor as a way of honouring God. He even says that when we show kindness to the least of these in our midst, we are showing kindness to him. And this idea of distributing wealth has always been part of the history of the church. In the 4th century, St. Basil of Caesarea maintained that the excessive wealth of the rich belonged to the poor, and for them not to give to the poor was the equivalent of theft. And at the same time, St. Ambrose was also insisting that wealth or property beyond one's needs belonged by right to the poor. What is the difference between almsgiving and tithing? Tithing, traditionally and according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is a tenth part of income or goods given for the upkeep of the ministers of the church and of the church itself. This follows what Jesus says about those involved in ministry when he says in Luke chapter 10, "The labourer is worthy of his hire." It's true that many times some tithe money was set aside by the church to provide for the poor, but most of the references to almsgiving itself suggest a more personal touch. There is a sense with almsgiving that we should in some way involve ourselves in the lives of the poor in a more direct way, rather than rely on the official bodies to distribute our donations for us. When Jesus enjoins that we sell what we have and give to the poor, he also tells us that God will look after us. There are many anecdotes we could mention about tithing from our salary and the Lord providing an increase in revenue from out of the blue. This is not exactly as though he rewards us for giving away our money, but more a sign of his mercy and his love. The Lord has a special care for the poor, and he is pleased when we offer what we have to help them. Similarly, when we give we are not supposed to simply give out of our abundance. The incident in Mark's Gospel of the widow's mite is somewhat sobering. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." There is a certain sense in which, when we give alms, we should feel the pinch. In other words, when we give to the poor, we should give so that we deny ourselves something that we would rather have. One of our most precious commodities is our time. When we give of our time, in a sense, that may be a more valuable gift to those in need than giving money. And although the needy are certainly those who lack material possessions, they are also those who are suffering emotionally, psychologically, or spiritually. Simply spending time with someone who's in distress is also a form of almsgiving. When Jesus is berating the Pharisees for being meticulous about observance of the law while they were full of corruption in their hearts, he tells them to give to the poor as a way of cleansing their conscience. Luke 11:41 says, "Be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you." Almsgiving then becomes a reparation for sin and a means of purification. Almsgiving is also a pillar of spirituality along with fasting and prayer. And so almsgiving becomes a way in which we can progress along the path to holiness. If you look at the lives of the saints, you find that they didn't just pray and fast, but had a special care for the needy and gave of their own resources to those who were in want. Almsgiving is a way of showing compassion for those who are struggling financially or are destitute. In the last analysis, almsgiving, taking an interest in the poor, spending a little bit of our time and energy serving the poor and providing for them materially, is a very good way of loving our neighbour. Psalm 41 is an exhortation not just to give money to the poor and needy, but also to take an interest in those who are weak. "Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness." On a practical note, one way of making our almsgiving more effective is not just to supply the temporal needs of the poor, but also to provide a way for them to provide for themselves. This is the old adage, "Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime." There are many causes that we can give to which are aimed at equipping underprivileged people to earn their own living. These also have the advantage that they give the needy person more dignity, such that they don't remain in the position of a beggar, but have the status of being able to supply the needs of themselves and their family. Ultimately, almsgiving, according to the New Testament and the tradition of the church, is indispensable. It is an obligation that the Lord places on us, but more than that, it's a way of allowing ourselves to be conduits of the Lord's love to other people and a help to us on the road to sanctity. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you for the grace of being able to supply the needs of those less fortunate than ourselves. You have given everything to us and provided for us in every way. Help us to have compassion on the poor, the weak, and the needy, since in our kindness to them, we are ministering to you. Amen.